They said, can you imagine? Pastor said, this is what pastor was doing. It was embarrassment. You take newspaper, cover your head like this. Because you're a Christian too. So God doesn't want too many pastors. Is the man way or dinner? God doesn't want too many pastors who their name pastor in the page of newspaper and a disgrace. They say, okay, pastor, just stay in church. Let me appoint Alaji, the minister. Nobody will say Alaji, you know. That's what's going on. That is what is what? Going on. What am I saying? If you and I want to reign, we must train so we can reign. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, we have to. We have to. So whatever it is in life, start thinking, start meditating, start changing towards that. Listen, your prayer for change is not the prayer for outward change. It's prayer for what? Inward change. You pray that God should give you understanding on how people in the level where you are going to next are supposed to be. That it should make you become like that. Listen, even though you are called, no matter how anointed Joseph was, no matter how anointed he was, the way his father was treating him, that boy wasn't planning to go anywhere. Are you getting my point? So his father sliced him off from his... Sorry, God sliced him off from his father. That go was a good boy. Very good. He had all the training of righteousness in his soul. But, no, don't go too far. There are snakes over there. Don't. Joseph, come back. Don't contest, though. You know these counselors, they can be dangerous. Joseph, come. Hey, after some time, the angel said, God, what do we do? I send him to prison. Send him to inter slavery. So they said, his brothers are wicked, good instruments. His brothers are ringed and send the guy away. Said the father, you don't die now. The father was saying that if you remove Joseph, I will just die. Did he die? That was when Joseph finally did the last bit of growing up. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? The point is this, Joseph needed to be trained. That's what I'm saying. Our prayer for change, listen, let me just say this. Many things, all right, are added together before manifestations come. There's an issue of divine timing. When I say divine timing, now let me explain what I'm saying. I say this all the time, Joshua could not enter the promised land until Israel was ready to enter. Are you getting my point? So even though he was ready on day one, we have evidence from the scriptures that he was ready from the beginning. But he had to wait. So those are the kind of things I'm saying. In the same manner, all right, there may be times that your appointment, let me use that word, all right, is going to manifest based on things that are outside you. Now, this is the lesson. You must be ready before that time. I don't know whether you hear what I said. That's it. You must be ready before that time. Because if that time comes before you are ready, one of two things will happen. Somebody better than you may be picked, or you will be used just like that, and you will make a mess of the whole thing. Do you follow my point? You may be picked just like that, somebody better than you may be picked, or you may be picked just like that. Unfortunately, if that happens, you will make a mess of the whole thing. And you don't want that. We said there are different stages in life. There's a stage of God calling you. There's a stage of God choosing you. And then there's a stage of God establishing you. If you go into that phase that I was talking about of your appointment without being ready, you will never make it to the stage of being established. You understand what I'm saying? You won't make it to that stage of being established. So this is what we do for change. And that's why we're talking about prayer. Because our focus is not on outward change, but being ready for the time that our manifestation is supposed to be. Are you getting my point? Our focus is on the inward change so that we will become the person that qualifies to carry the weight of glory. I don't know what I heard I said. Glory has weight too. What did I say? The day I was talking with Reverend Wosho, I was just saying that, look, blessings are difficult to carry. A lot of people, I said that the word glory in the Hebrew, in the Greek, is the word doxa, which literally means weight. That, in fact, that's when it struck me that Paul said, the weight of what? Glory. Glory has weight. If you don't have muscles, you can't carry it. If you don't have the proper spiritual, you know what I'm saying? You can't carry it. When I say you can't carry, what I mean is that it will wreck you. Then Reverend Wosho was telling me stories of the time they went to a particular country and the door opened, you know, seriously. One of the men that escorted him, now, get what I'm saying? Maybe we are going to, let Onitsha to go and preach. And Yinka and Bishop followed me to Onitsha to go and preach. Then by the time we finished preaching, so powerful was the message, we're leaving. The people say, please now, don't go, don't go. That's what happened to him. Don't go now. And I said, sorry, I have to go. So one of these men, I said, sir, can I stay behind? That was what happened to him. One of the men that escorted him to that country requested to be allowed to stay behind. The man blessed him and allowed him to stay behind on his own. Said the church grew to maybe like a size of like 5,000 people in a short while. But the man could not carry the glory. He will come to church on Sunday, praise the Lord. By the time they leave in church, they have dashed him a car. Say, pastor, you were such a blessing today. This motor car is your own. He was swimming in glory with a capital G. But the thing was heavy. He couldn't carry it. In a short while, I don't know. It didn't last long. I don't know, maybe last 2 years or short while after. Stories don't begin. Pastor, they misuse church money. A pastor who misuses church money can never scatter a church. It can't. I know what I'm saying. What scatters the church, that particular one, was worse than that. Is when pastors start misusing church women. Church money is not a problem. Read your Bible. Eli's sons. Samson. You see what I'm saying? It was when pastor began to misuse church women. Unfortunately, this was not Nigeria. It's another African country. And they boot pastor at the church closed. So the day that man of God was giving me the gist, he said the summary was that young man couldn't carry the glory. It was heavy. It was heavy. You know, the other day I was reading, I get these mails from Rick Joyner. Rick Joyner said that, now, this is just by the way, we're talking about weight. Rick Joyner said, once in a while, he just gathered some courage to Google up his own name. That when you see the kind of things they write against him, about him, some people will say, the day he came to their church to preach and the things he preached, and this is a church he has never been to, he doesn't even know where it is. And they will lie about him, that he said, Jesus is coming 5 times. You know, all kinds of things, they will write it. And I read, is it Theodore Epp? Or what's his name? Either Theodore Epp or Charles Finney, one of the two of them. He said, among the keys to spiritual power, you are not allowed to respond. You hear what I said? On the internet, they're writing your name, that he came to Enugu the other day to preach, and he said that Jesus and Satan are friends, and you didn't come to Enugu, you don't even know where Enugu is. And they said, key to spiritual power, don't answer. My brother. You know the answer he had. I think I still have that thing in my house. Small sleep like this. I think it's Charles Finn that said it. Talking about keys to spiritual power. One of them is, under such circumstances, don't answer. One day they criticized this man so badly. What is his name? The brother, watch my knee. People say, why won't you talk? Answer now. He said, there's no need. He said, why not? He said, if they trust us. No, he said, how did he say it again? He said, if the people we are talking to trust us, it was not necessary. If they don't trust us, they wouldn't believe us anyway. So why talk? I don't know where they get the point. They were calling him names, insulting left and right. He said this, he did this. The man did not utter a word in defense. Till now, I don't fully understand. You have the money. Just take newspaper advert. Disclaimer. Have you? Oh, no, it's not disclaimer. Rejoinder, whatever. Please, oh, brethren, I have never been to Enugu. This and this and that and that and that. Listen, men who have been there say, don't bother. I know the money for a full page advert is not much. He said, but don't bother. Are you guilty? No. If the brethren want to know, call you, answer them. But as for going outside, to go and defend yourself, they said it's against spiritual power. So I call weight of glory. So if God gives you money and influence before you do this, hey, before you understand this, you will be there defending yourself. That's when church goes scatter, ministry go end, God will withdraw power, whole and small. You get my point? Imagine that they left Peter and Co. to burn that city. Peter said, Lord, please move back. Should we call down fire from... You follow what I say? Keys of spiritual power, stop calling down fire recklessly. What am I saying here? The ability to carry that fire and not be burning people. You are carrying fire. You know you can call fire. If you read that article the other day, Bishop Oyedepo, the one I told you about, somebody says the Newswatch. Some people who were doing, you know that they had some issues with the ministry, and when they asked Bishop, he said that he had to restrain himself not to curse them. Point is that he restrained himself. That he was so angry and offended because what they said wasn't true, that the church did everything they were supposed to do and beyond. Yet these men were saying these things about the church and about him. He said, I had to restrain. You see what I'm saying? He had to do what? Restrain himself. That's, I'm talking about glory being what? Heavy. Many of us are praying for things that if God gave us, certified mentalism. You know something? You go crazy instantly. So you've been praying, God said, please, oh boy, you can't carry it. You can't carry it. I can't. He said, I've tested it before. I said, you can't carry it. Does it mean he won't give you? No, he just means go and develop muscles with which to carry it. And the moment the muscles are built enough, and I'm certain you can carry it, I'll release it. We pray for change. We don't pray for change outside. We pray for what? Change inside. The prayer point today is that place I'm going, two prayer points. The same thing anyway. What am I supposed to be like there? Now this scripture we quote all the time. It's Psalm 119 verse 144. It said, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. It said, give me understanding and what? I shall live. Let me explain that scripture again. The righteousness, the word righteousness means the correctness. That's a simple way to put it. The accuracy. The properly in orderness. You like those words I invent? The properly in orderness of thy testimonies. Thy testimonies are thy, you know, we said it before, that God's word has different things. He has commandments, he has precepts, he has promises, or the, what you call his word, and then he has what he called testimonies. Testimonies are personalized commandments. Are you getting my point? They are what? Personalized commandments. No razor shall touch his head. It's not for everybody. You get what I'm saying? It's not for everybody. John the Baptist didn't drink wine. It was not for everybody. Jesus drank it. That's a matter of fact. They are personalized commandments. Those days, Deeper Life was didn't use the word television. They said it's the devil's box. I find it didn't start with them. Started from Holiness Movement in America. I know those things. A lot of those things start as testimonies, personalized commandments. God looked at them and said, listen, I don't want to see you in front of television. Even if you are preaching on it 10 times a day, you don't watch it. It's not a law for the whole church. It's not a law for the whole church. God knows why he says things, certain things to certain people. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm not discussing that in detail. We discussed it before when we're talking about following God fully. All right? What I want to bring out is that David said, the righteousness of thy testimonies, they are everlasting. Listen to this. Give me understanding. This is what it means. Let me understand which ones are my own commandments beyond the general one. There's a general commandment everybody is supposed to obey. But there are some that are mine. Give me understanding, and then I will acquire success. That's I shall live. Live doesn't mean that I was dead. I'm not alive physically, breathing now. No. I shall live means I will rise out of obscurity. Are you getting my point? Into the place God wants me to be. I shall live means that I will rise out of failure into success. Give me understanding of my own personal commandments, and I shall live. Very crucial prayer point. Very, very crucial. Very, very crucial. There are people that God say, listen, no more obituary for you. Don't go. Nothing wrong with obito. Your friend will go, but you don't go. Listen, you may be a businessman. And God says, listen, in this country, as long as you are doing business in Nigeria, I don't want you ever to take a government contract. It's not a sin, is it? But for you, it's your own personal commandment. You just say, no, I'm not doing. I know men, that's what they swear by. Government job, sorry, we're not doing. Why? I can't give anybody a kickback. Kick center, kick front. That I won't be able to pray. And my ability to pray is more important than the money I will make. Sorry. Talk from now to tomorrow, I'm not doing. Why? I'm not going to kick anybody back. So why expose myself to temptation? I don't even want to make you a prayer point. So I pray, Father God, today as I'm going to collect my money, let that man, that thief of a palm sec not be around. So his zone is that, why should I add that to my list of prayer points? Listen, God can give me money from anywhere. I don't want this one that needs too much prayer. Personal testimony is personal. It's not a law that no Christian should take government contracts. No, it's not a law. There are places, personally, I don't like to go and preach. I told you, I have a rule now. Allah knows. I said, examine the letter. Talk to the people. Do they sound like they are looking for Michael Jackson? Once I feel like I'm going there to entertain them, they expect me to come with my best suit and drive my tallest car. So as I arrive, they'll say, yes, Michael J. done the land. Come down. Hey, praise God. And everybody just get excited. Say, I don't show. Say, my name no be Two-Face. He said, no, Pastor Banky, you know, if you go there, you may be able to reach some people. There are people that, you know, some pastors, the way they dress, you know, they go to such places. So they bought gold like this. The size of the ring on their hands, the size of my ear. You see Jericho on my head? And speaking for now, for nobody. You know what I'm saying? Now, nothing wrong with it. There are people like that. Listen, I'm not criticizing them. I mean, they are anointed to go and entertain and win some. First start, they enter, they say, first rap, two lines. Everybody go, hey, hey, hey. Maybe that's how God will bring all the cult boys on campus to come and hear the gospel. Right? Maybe. But this is not Pastor Banky's job. If it was my job, my wife gave me one suit the other day. Not even one, like two. I asked, you know, I tell her, I said, where will I wear it to? She didn't ask her. I said, where will I wear it to? I can't wear it to work. It doesn't look appropriate. One place I will not wear it to is Kingdom World Ministries. She's here. I said, I can't wait to go and preach. There was one suit. You see, Bishop has one. Bishop, where are you? Bishop has one. Now, two of us buy at the same time. One for Bishop, one for me. I wore it, looked in front of the mirror. I said, my wife, sorry, I don't want to get there. He said, where? Why? Where would I wear it to? Where? Bishop wears his own for weddings to, you know, I see Bishop wears it. He's shining, looking very nice. But if I mount the pulpit like that, and I'm not going to listen to the message again, you're going to say, Pastor, this is your suit, fine. Now, that's just about it. This is the point I'm just trying to make. This is the point I'm making. It's my personal testimony. If you don't, you're inviting me to go somewhere, I must see that you guys want to let, that is, you are ready to bring biro paper and write. I'm going to instruct you step by step. That's why I ask you, most of the invitations I get for 45 minutes, I don't go. Major program, me, talk for 45 minutes, you're out of your mind. I'm going. I'm a showman, that's what you're saying. Say, yeah, after Paul Agubata has ministered, then Penham Festival will come up. Then, what's the name of the Samsung? We jam. Then you jam after them, all right? Pastor, is it okay? I say, no. Nothing wrong with it, though. Thank you, just I say, like it. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Oh, this is what I'm making. The righteousness of thy testimonies. He said, give me understanding. That is, you need to know the one that's your own. I was telling Bishop the other day, we were talking about, you know, I see houses. I said, why is that house like that? Bishop would say, no, sir. Bishop's an architect. I said, Bishop would say, no, sir. He's not the architect. He's the client. I said, how do you mean he's the client? He said, they know they're here. Listen, are you getting my point? You can decide that, well, I'm sorry, no client is dictating for me the building I'm putting on ground. That can be, listen, nothing wrong with that. Listen to client. Like, I'm not saying you listen to client at all. If say he wants 6 rooms, you say, what are you doing with 6? You need only 3. That's not what I mean. I mean, you look at the house, say, come and see a maker's house. See him. Draw him for me. It's in a lie. I don't know who to say. That's a draftsman. Me, I'm an architect. It's possible. It can just be your personal testimony that you listen to everything the client wants, but you have the final word on what is done. Maybe it's your personal testimony. Maybe. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? I'm just saying this to let you understand that you are moving to the next level. There are things you have to just learn. I can't teach you. I don't know it. Only God understands it because he's the one that's taking you there. Let me quickly add this one before I stop so we can pray. Listen, you cannot outthink God. Don't think you are thinking of an idea he did not think of before you. That God, you know, this place, level I've been in, it's not big enough. So, there's a new idea I have. Come and see whether you will like it. No. The best you can do is to tap into that which he created ahead. And if that's the case, he already knew the rules. He understood. He knew. He wrote them down. How it will be that people in these places are supposed to behave. So what he's giving you as personal testimony is your guide into coming into the place he created it to be. That's why it's only as you pray. Are you getting me? It's only as you pray. It's only as you pray that you'll understand those things. It's only as you pray. It's only as you pray. And that's why we're talking about school of prayer. Because when you understand all these things we have said up to this time, it's easy for you to pray and say, Lord, the righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall enter into the place of my appointment. Do you understand that? That simple prayer, now it means a different thing. When you are plotting your business, that you are listening out. And listen, don't be afraid that you will fail because you can't. Let me end with that one. What did I say?
Don't be afraid because you can't.
You can't fail. You can, when you can go through a few, you know, you can experience a few setbacks. Everyone is a learning process, but failure is not possible. Listen, if between now, we use money to explain, not because we're thinking about money alone, but for business, it's easy to understand. If between now and the next 5 years, God's supposed to raise you from where you are now to making a turnover of 10 billion naira in a year, and in 2 years, you have not reached 10 million, listen to me, you will still reach 10 billion in that period, in that 5 years. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So, don't be in a hurry to reach 10 billion. Be in a hurry to learn your lessons. So every setback, you quickly learn your lesson. You know what I'm saying? This, don't be afraid of death. That's what death means. Not physical death alone, but business death, marital death. There are people who don't want to marry. Their father divorced their mother. If you're a Christian, that will... Look, listen, from the beginning, just know that it won't happen to you. Not just you wish, it's a matter of faith. You prayed about it. You told the Lord about it. You received it. And look, and you don't use human knowledge. Just by the way, I was quoting for somebody today in my office. Again, I've just discussed here before. Princess Diana married Prince Charles. Do you know why? He said, he's the only person that's not allowed to divorce me. And you know what he did to her? As arm of flesh. Her father and her mother, they got divorced when she was young. So she hated the concept of divorce. So to fight, he said, I will marry the prince. So that he will never, because that's the only person who by their law could not divorce her. He wants to be a king. Unfortunately, there are many things happened over the times. And then he had a son. She had a son who can be king. So the father doesn't have to be king. So the man divorced her. Because by that time she was begging for the divorce anyway. The point I'm making is that you can't solve your fears through human wisdom. Lean not on your own what? Understanding. Why I'm saying this is that a lot of people are afraid to take steps because of fear. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. Are you getting my point? We handle our fears by faith. And because of that, I'm telling you, you will not fail. Amen. Your husband won't divorce you. Amen. Don't promise me you won't divorce me. You think Prince Charles promised Diana he will divorce him? He will divorce her. You better tell God, God promise me, and the Lord has promised already. Do you follow my point? Why I'm saying all of this is that don't be afraid. Because sometimes our fear is that if I make this kind of decisions, will business come? We are not begging for business. We are preparing for the one that God created. Do you follow my point? The righteousness of thy testimony or testimonies is everlasting. The righteousness. Give me understanding. And I shall live. Let me know my own testimonies. It is as you create, that is from the word of God, your own testimonies. As you are changed, that's when you are getting ready to enter into the next level. All your prayer for change must be about you, not about that change itself. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
Our view understood me so far.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, we're ready to pray now. For the last few minutes we have, let us pray. Just remain seated. Just bow down your heads. We have learned the proper procedure. Prayer for change. That's what we are learning how to pray it. Last time we reviewed, we said, that which I see not, teach thou me. That is it. If I have done iniquity, I would not do it anymore. We said, every man's way is right, all right, in his own eyes. Therefore, last time we asked the Lord for forgiveness. We asked him to reveal to us that which we did not know, which we were doing that was hindering our progress. Oh, that thing is so deep. I pray that God will give you understanding. It's so deep. Many things people are doing is hindering their progress. But we have gone forth to another level in our prayer for today. And that is, Lord, the next level I'm going to and the alternate level I'm going to, I need to be changed into that place. And my change will come as I imbibe your word. Therefore, I'm asking you, Father, the righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. He said, give me understanding and I shall live. So you are asking God. Oh, you are a preacher like Pastor Banky, like Pastor Okemute. Lord, I have ministered this way for some years. A time will come that I need to move to another level. I must be ready for that time. And maybe the time has come, but because I'm not ready, it is delayed in manifesting. And readiness means understanding new procedures. Readiness means understanding what to do and what not to do. Readiness means having a larger heart, having a greater vision. Therefore, we ask, I say, Lord, reveal to me the testimonies. My personal commandments, or even the general commandments I overlooked. Solomon was taught when he was young, kings, there are things they don't do in the morning. He was taught how to pray. When he asked God for wisdom, it wasn't a surprise. It didn't surprise God. His father had taught him, exalt wisdom and she shall promote you. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. He knew that he was taught. Therefore, said, Lord, teach me God wants you to change into that next level more than you desire. The Bible says he delights in the prosperity of his servants. You must understand that. He delights. So if his servants are obstructing the release of that prosperity, he's unhappy about it. Therefore, say, Lord, give me understanding. The way I've been doing my business, how do I go to the next level? The way I've been treating my customers, how do I go to the next level? The way I've been doing my ministry, how do I go to the next level? The way I've been broadcasting the word, how do I go to the next level? The way I've been preaching, the way I talk about other preachers, the way I minister, the way I speak the word, when I'm, there's something that I need to change that I can go to the next level. When Kenneth Hagin was going to change, the Lord revealed to him, he says, start printing your word on books. Start making tapes. Before Kenegan will go from one place to the other, talking. God called him one day and said, start writing these things down. That was where his own change began from. Say, Lord, give me understanding and I shall live. That's how people change. I said before, there are women that God said, listen, you don't have the heart of a wife. You are praying for a husband. God said, oh girl, you don't have the heart of a wife. Oh boy, your heart. I can't give a wife to you. You make her suffer. You think like a single man. So go and read a book that will teach you what I want you to be as a husband. And listen, before you read the last chapter, you will be married. People are asking, Lord, make me rich. God said, with, to do what? You have enough food. Your accommodation is comfortable. So what's your problem? You don't have the heart of a rich man. The one you have employed, how much are you paid? Government wants to raise minimum wage. You've been angry since. Instead of you to rejoice and pray for me to give you more so you can pay more. How do I raise you to employing thousands? When the two that are working for you are grumbling every day because you don't treat them well. Give me understanding and I shall live. That's how we move to the next level. That is how we move to the next level. When we are tired of the present, what we do is say, God, what do we need to do to move to the next level? We don't just command the next level to come. We must ask God first, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? Very important prayer. Let's thank God because he answers us all the time. This is the confidence. Hey, this season, as the year's end, that holiday season, get a small notepad. If you have a good smartphone, also very good. Start taking notes down on the changes you need to make in your ministry, the changes you need to make in your business, the changes you need to make. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. He will bring a book to you. You will read it and take notes. Write them down somewhere so that you don't forget them. He said, write the vision. Make it plain. You must write it so that you will be able to see it. It will make you run. God has answered. In fact, once you are ready, listen, you'll be amazed. He said, make plain a way for the Lord in the wilderness, and the glory of God will be revealed, and every flesh will see it. So let's give him and say, Father, I thank you because you have heard me. Say, Lord, we thank you because you have heard our prayers today. Father, we give you thanks. Lord, you will show us mercy early. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I said to you before, the number one thing God does for those he wants to bless is to correct them. Get ready for correction. Amen. If you're a businessman, it will come from your customers. It will come from reading a book. As a pastor, it will come from people over you and things you will hear somebody saying that you are not supposed to hear. Don't worry, hear it. It's one thing I tell my wife all the time. I say, she's my wife. I say, we are not competing. If I'm wrong, nothing spoil. If I'm right, nothing spoil. It's not that, hey, I was right, you were wrong. What I'm bringing something here. As long as this marriage gets sweeter, who cares where the things began from? In the same manner, as long as you are corrected and you prosper by the correction, who cares? And your customer correct you, eh? Some people tell their customer, I didn't sell the business because of you. Your shop will soon close. If they correct you, hear it. You need to be corrected. There are things that God has been speaking to some people. Stubbornness is why you are still at that level. There are those that God gave a commandment. This is how you are going to spend your money. You will divide it like this, like this, like this. You will keep this amount to expand this business. But you wanted to use an iPad. You wanted to wear a fine shoe. You bought things on credit from the money God commanded you to use to increase your business. You have been paying debt. See and so. And you are sowing seed for prosperity. Disobedience. You need correction. Ken Hagin said something in one of his books. He said he suffered hard at a particular time because he was unfaithful in his ministry. He was going into debt every month because he was unfaithful in his ministry. He was managing his money the best he could, but God said, I will bless you if you minister well. He was unfaithful in the ministry. You need to pray that God will open your eyes to see where you should work on your faithfulness. That principle occurs everywhere in business, in ministry, in the marital life, in every aspect of life. You will be angry with your wife. Why is she so stubborn? Why is she like this? God said, you have not been reading your Bible. That's why your wife is stubborn. You are stubborn towards me. You see? We need to open our hearts for what? Correction. And you see, God doesn't want to change by your strength. He wants to change by the power of grace. If you change, if you hear the word, and you accept, only acknowledge your iniquity. If you just say, yes, Lord, this is what I have done that is wrong, he will give you the power to do differently. That's what he does. But when you start justifying, you will be on, look, another year will come and end, you will still have to hear this message again and operate by the things taught in it. But that will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Your heart will be opened. You will have the heart of flesh that God can correct, remold, and bring into the place where kings are supposed to be. Amen. Because indeed you are a king in your own right. Amen. Father, we thank you because you are good. In the name of Jesus Christ.